Today's share in the Daf Yomi is going to be the Gemara in Beitza. We're going to finish up Daf Hey. We already did Hey Amud Aleph. We're going to do Hey Amud Beis, and we're going to do Mirtz Hashem Daf Vav. Again, in our desire to make it easier for people that are listening to the share for the days of Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, where it's going to be impossible to hear a share, so we'll be caught up. Mirtz Hashem, you won't have to catch up a double share if the Yom Tov is over. So we're going to begin on the very top of Hey Amud Beis, four lines down from the top with the words Ma'avi Omer. Now this is going back on why we have to bring three proofs in yesterday's shir to Rav Yosef's shita. If you remember, Rav Yosef had said, "Mitakonis Rav Yochanan Zakkai va'elech," he said, "Beitza zasura." From the days of Rav Yochanan Zakkai's decree that they no longer would not accept the witnesses, Hiskin Rav Yochanan Zakkai shiyumu kubalim edus hachodesh kol yom, that they would allow the people to come and testify that they saw the new moon even in the afternoon after the Tamid Shor Ben Arbayim normally would have been brought during the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So they made a takana not to accept them because of the takala that occurred with the shir, the song that they would sing during the bringing of the Korban Tamid Shor Ben Arbayim, whether they sing a weekday song or the Rosh Hashanah song. So during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they had to make the takana. But Nebuch, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Yochanan Zakkai said that they no longer made that takana. They stopped the takana of not accepting the witnesses. They went back to the original practice of accepting the witnesses. Shumakadim is a chodesh kol yom. And Yosef said that from that time on, so Beitza was asura on the second day of Yom Tov. Not that the Beitza was matir, but the Beitza was asura on the second day of Yom Tov. And what was the reasoning? He said because this takana that was made not to accept the original witnesses, that takana was changed by Rav Yochanan Zakkai, but not the takana about the eggs. The whole davish of the minyan, he said, requires minyan acher lahatiro. And he brought three rayas to that. Amar Rav Yosef, you know, Aminalach, so he said he brought three rayas. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Why did he have to bring three rayas? So again, we begin on Hey Omud Beis, four lines from the top with the words, Mai V'Omer. Why did he have to bring all of these three rayas? So this is what Yosef was telling us. Michti, let's look at the psukim. The first pasuk tells us, "Ksiv heyu nichonim l'shloshes yomim al tikshuel isha l'shloshes me'agbalo." 3 days before Har Sinai, Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people everybody should separate from their wives. There shouldn't be any tumah of poleta shichva zera. There shouldn't be any tumah from relations in the men or the women, so they'll be pure to accept the Torah. And therefore, he said, "Prepare yourselves for 3 days. Don't have relations with your wives." And then after that, after Matan Torah, it said, "Lechem or lehem, shuv lechem liolechem." It said, now you can go back to your wives. Everybody can go back and have normal marital relations, husband and wife. So Gemara says, "Lamali, why do you have to tell me that? After all, it said for 3 days." So the implication is, after the 3 days are over, this din doesn't apply. Oh, shmami no. We see here this idea called Davish Beminyan, Sorach Minyan Achal Artiro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that you have to separate. So until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us you have to get back together again, in other words, you need minyan acher latira. You can't just assume on your own that this din, this gzeira, no longer applies. Oh, that was the first proof that Yosef said. Are you going to tell me that proof is not a perfect proof? Because v'chitema l'mitzvas onahu diosa, that's telling us over here that you must go back to your wives, not that you have an option. It says no, lech emar lem shuv lechem lelechem, because of the mitzvah of making sure that your wives are happy with relations. So therefore, you have an obligation. The mitzvah of ona is an obligation on the man to his wife. Not as it's unfortunately frequently thought, this is purely something for the man and not for the woman. No, the Torah's hashkafa is that this is something that should be very pleasurable and very enjoyable to the woman. And therefore, it's the obligation for the man to please his wife. In any event, one might have thought that maybe this was a mitzvah that you have to go back to your wives, and not that if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Therefore, that's why I brought the second reason, Toshma, Bimsho Chayovel, Hemo Yalu Vahar. That's why I brought the pasuk. And when they blew the shofar, now the animals can go back and graze on the mountains. Now, why do you need this pasuk? Michte. The pasuk originally said, Ksiv Gam Hatzom V'Yabakor Al Yiru Emol Aharuhu. The pasuk originally said, no, you can't go on the mountain to graze your animals during the period of time before Matan Torah. So that tells me they're not let it go, but that's only until Matan Torah. Why do I need another pasuk? Bimsho Chayovel. Why do I need that pasuk? Lomali. Ah, that's the same idea. Shema Mina. Dabash Biminyan, Sarach Minyan Achalatiro. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't go and graze your animals on the mountain, and now you need specifically HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell you, Minyan Achalatiro, that now, yes, you can go and have your animals graze on the mountain. And why did he need the third raya? That was from the mission that we brought down. And the raya goes as follows. V'chitema hanimila b'daraya. So you're going to tell me these two are psukim, and therefore they're dealing with dinam daraisa. By a daraisa, you need a minyan achalatiro. However, abo b'drabanon, in regards to Kerem Ravai to the Dafka, go and bring it to Yerushalayim if you're within a 1 day's travel. While Kerem Ravai is a din daraisa, but the obligation not to redeem it if you live within a 1 day's travel, north, south, east, or west of Yerushalayim, la'ater Yerushalayim, la'ater shuk Yerushalayim, that there should be plenty of fruits available, so that's only din the Rabbanan. So maybe you might have thought Abba the Rabbanan lo, therefore we need this mishnah, toshma. Kerem Ravai is also a din that you need a minyan achlatiro. For Kerem Ravai the Rabbanan, the Karmi Lay, they told Rabbi Eliezer, no, you don't have to go and give it away to the poor people. Kvar nimnu alecha chaverecha. In other words, your chaverim were minyan achlatiro v'yatiru. And therefore, you see, this is applicable even by din the Rabbanan. That's why Rabbi Yosef brought down three reasons. The first one, you might have thought it was a mitzvah, so it tells us even when it's not a mitzvah. And then you might have thought it's only by deraisa, so he has to tell us it's also by the Rabbanan. Now the Gemara says, V'chitema beitzanami. So wait a second. Rabbi Yosef said that the only thing that Rabbi Yochanan Mezaki was a matir, the original takana, he was the minyan achal atiro, that was in regards to that they now accepted the edus again, even from the afternoon onwards. But he never was matir the egg, and that's why the egg is also on the second day. V'chitema beitzanami. You're going to tell me, no, maybe he was matir that beitza also, that he should be matir on the second day as well. So imnu alor Rabbi Yochanan Zaka v'shayu. Maybe you're going to say that his basin didn't only matir that they can now accept edus from the afternoon and onwards, but they also were matir the egg too. So Gemara says ki imnu edus abeitz lo imnu. Says who said they were nimnu v'gomru? They came together and said now we're going to allow edim to come again, but they never said anything about the takana of the beitzim. So the beitzim remained aser on the second day. That's what the Gemara tells us Rabbi Yosef said. Amalei Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, Otu beitza b'minya mi havoi? Wait a second, was there ever a specific gezeira about the beitzim? It was lumped in with the edus. Beitza b'edus talya mitzvah. It wasn't a separate decree about, oh, don't eat the eggs on the second day. It was, since we're now going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So that was a ramification of having 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, when you took away that 2 days of Rosh Hashanah by now accepting the Eidus in the afternoon, so it's our Eidus, it's our Beitza. Ishtere Eidus, Ishtere Beitza. It wasn't a separate Gezerah by tells of Yosef, so why are you saying that the two aren't going together? The two, in fact, go together. So Abaye disagrees with Rav Yosef's approach to this. In any event, if you remember, Rav Yosef was in response, really, to Rabbah. Rabbah had said, Mitakonas Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Eilich, Beitza Muteris. He had said that from the time of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's Takana, that they accepted the Eidim now in the afternoon, so then the Beitza was mutter. And it was only Rav Yosef who came along and said that that's not true. But now let's go back on that. Rabbah had said that the Beitza is mutter on the second day, because he said, Makablim Eidus HaChodesh Kol Hayom. So now it's two separate days, and therefore it's not one big Kiddush HaRichta. So Gemara now questions this. Rav Ada v'Rav Shalman, these two great Amoraim, Rav Ada and Rav Shalman, Tarvayu mibeis Klochis, they both came from an area known as the Bay Klochis, and both of them said, Amrei, they disagreed with Rabbah's statement outright. They said, Rabbah said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said the Beitza is now muteris on the second day. And they said, no, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai still said the Beitza is asura on the second day. And my time, what's the reason for this? Again, we always find this, that even the days of Chazal, where they had a much shorter period of time from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, not like us with 2,000 years, there was only a couple of hundred years, and yet they mourned and yearned and wanted so much the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. Allah has come to us. So, may the Beis HaMikdash be built speedily in our days. So, why in this situation did they say that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said that the Beitza is Asura because of the potential Takola? Because what's going to happen? Here, you're going to be the Beitza will rebuild speedily. And the Omru, people are going to say, last year, Ishtakad, didn't we eat the Beitza on the second day? Milo Ochanu Beitza B'yom Tusheini. And therefore, Hashtanami Necho. So this year, we can eat it as well. But they're not going to realize, below your day, that last year, the Ishtakad, Shtei Kedusha saying, last year, there were two separate Kedushas because they accepted the Eidus even in the afternoon. So there was clearly one day that was Rosh Hashanah, and the next day was not Rosh Hashanah. But now, when they have the Beis HaMikdash again, and they're worried about the kilkul, the takola that could come with the shear, so they're no longer going to accept the Eidus in the afternoon. So, hashta kedusha achasi, and we're going to go back to having one kedusha arichta, one long kedusha. So, therefore, that's why Rav Ada, the Rav Shalman, disagreed with the Rabbah and said, because of this potential, behera, yibon Beis HaMikdash, that it could lead to a takola. More questions this and says, wait a second, Ihochi, if this is really the case, so Eidus Nami lo tekabel. So then you shouldn't accept the Eidus this year because maybe next year Beheri Menu, the Beis HaMikdash will rebuild. And next year they'll say, well, last year we accepted Eidus in the afternoon. So this year we can also accept Eidus in the afternoon, but that's going to lead to Tatakola in the Shear. So therefore, why don't we make a rule that even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Mezaki should not have allowed them to accept Eidus again in the afternoon because of this Tatakola, that next year they'll make a mistake. My timer again. Nehera Yibane Beis Hamikdash Riyomru Ishtaka Miloki Banu Vedas Chodesh Kol Hayom Kulo Hashanami Nekabo, because they're going to make the same exact mistake. They're going to say last year we accepted Eidos 10 minutes before the Shkia, and we accepted that that day was Rosh Hashanah, and the next day is not Rosh Hashanah. So just like last year we did it, this year we'll do it as well. But this year it's going to lead to a Takol in the Shir. So therefore, since if we're not going to accept it when the Beis Hamikdash Nehera Yibane is going to be rebuilt, so we shouldn't accept it even when the Beis Hamikdash is not rebuilt. That's the question that they ask on Rav Ada and Rav Shalman. Why do you make takana about the beitza, but you don't make takana about the basic accepting of the testimony of the eidos late in the afternoon? So Gemara says, no, the two aren't comparable. Hachi hashta, how can you compare these two? What is the egg? The egg is for each individual. But eidos, hosam, eidos, mesrula beistin, who is accepting these eidim? It's the Sanhedrin. So therefore, the Sanhedrin is not going to make a mistake and say, oh, last year we accepted the Eidim. This year, with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, we should accept them also. No, it's the Sanhedrin. You're talking about the Gedolei Hadar. They're not going to make a mistake. So therefore, there's no reason to be worried that if we accept the Eidim, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, they'll accept the Eidim when there is a Beis HaMikdash. This Sanhedrin isn't going to make such a mistake. But every Tom, Dick, and Harry, that's Beitzah, like all Mesura. Every individual say, well, last year I had this egg, so why can't I have it this year? They're not going to realize there's a difference between whether you accepted the Eidim in the afternoon or not. And therefore, for every Tom, Dick, and Harry, we have to make the Gzeira. Therefore, Rav Ada and Rav Shalman said that even though Rav Yochanan and Zakkai made the Takana about accepting the Eidos once the Beis HaMikdash Nehemiah was destroyed, there is no reason to make a Gzeira on the Eidos, but there still is a reason to make a Gzeira on the egg. So that's why they disagree with the Rabbah, who said that after the Takana of Yochanan and Zakkai, you can go and eat the egg, Beitzah Muteres. They say no, Beitzah Asura. And Rava likewise also disagreed with Rabbah and said that Beitzah is Asur. Why? Rav Amar, the egg is still also to be eaten on the second day of Rosh Hashanah if it was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? Because after all, Mila Moder Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't even Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai agree Shembo Eidim in a Mincha Lamala, that if the Eidim did come from the Mincha time and onwards, Shenoagin also Ayom Kodesh Shalvacha Kodesh. He says even if the Eidim did come and we accepted them, nevertheless we still held that both days are Kodesh. Osayom Kodesh, Ulamacha Kodesh, they're both Kodesh. So even though he accepted the egg, then that doesn't change anything about the egg. It is one Kedusha Arichta, it's one long, single, 48-hour, single day, and therefore, if the egg is laid in the morning, you'd say it's still Osir in the afternoon. So too, if the egg is laid on the first day, the second day is still one long day, and it's Osir. So that's why Rava disagreed with Rava as well. Now, the Omer Rava, Rava said further, how do we paskin? We started this off yesterday. We said there are three situations when we pass like Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, and this is true. Bein lekula, bein lechumra. This is true whether it's a chumra or whether it's a kula. For some of them, it was a chumra when we said Shabbos before Yontif or Yontif before Shabbos. Rab prohibited on the second day, so that was lechumra. Rabbi Yochanan was mekel. And then when we said Yontif Sheni Sholgolius, Rab permitted it. Ravasi, who Mestam was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so it's the machlokas of Rab and Rabbi Yochanan as well. Their Rav was Lakula, and he permitted it on the second day because Mimanu Shach, one of the days is not really Kodesh, and therefore Mimanu Shach, the second day should be good. If it was late on the first day, there was Yontif, so the second day is Chol, and it was late on the first day, there was Chol, and the second day is Yontif, so then it's also good. So there we pass it like Rav as well, that's Lakula. And the third case, which we just said, we pass it like Rav Luchumra, that both days of Rosh Hashanah, if it's late on the first day, it's also on the second day because it's Kedusha Richta. That is Rav's Psak Halacha. Now we turn to Vav and Aleph. Again, Yez Hashem, we're doing the extra daf today to help make up. Amar Rava, Rava says, furthermore, Meis b'yom torisho nisasku bo amom. If you have nebuch a dead person, so on the first day, we're dealing here with Yontif Sheni Shogolius, the first 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Loretz. So on the first day, since it's covered a meis, you can technically be mevatel the amiruli akum. You're not allowed to normally tell an akum to do something that's also for you, but because of covered a meis, amiruli akum is only the rabbanon, and therefore on Yontif Rishon, you technically can be misasik with the meis, all the tzorachei meis, yisasku ba momim. Non-Jewish people can go take care of the needs of the burial, so the Jewish people will not be over any yisurim, and that's covered a meis. You can do that even on the first day of Yontif. And on the second day of Yontif, meis be Yontif Sheni, yisasku ba Yisrael. So then even Yidden are allowed to go because even not only Yontif Sheni Shogolius, but even the Yontif Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the rabbis were mekel, and as we'll see, the lashon is Shavua Kichol. They made it like a weekday in this regard, as opposed to they did this only for a mace, but Rabbi said, Masha Enki Mebeitza, they didn't make the same din in regards to a Beitza on Rosh Hashanah. In regards to Yontif Sheni Shogolius, they did, but not in regards to Rosh Hashanah. Now, this opens up a very interesting idea. Do we follow this halacha l'maisa? Do we allow burial in Chutz Laaretz on the second day of Yontif Sheni by Jewish people? So, in the Hasidic circles, they do. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, the Igros Moshe, has a long tshuva about this, why this isn't applicable in our circles, the more litvisha, the more yeshivisha circles, as opposed to the more chassidisha circles. And he explains that the chassidisha people, they listen to their Rebbe. So the Rebbe is going to say, you can do this, but you can't. And they'll all listen. And he says, Nebuch, in our circles, people don't listen to their Rav. And therefore, there'll be people that won't have the heter to go to the burial, but say, well, I'm close with him, I'm a friend with him, I'm going to go. And they're going to be mechalu yontif sheni shel galus, which is a terrible thing to do if you don't have a heter. And because of covered mace, they don't have that heter in this situation, just to bury the mace, but not to do all the extras that we may be accustomed to doing on a weekday, but you can't do that. And number two, Rav Moshe points out today, Baruch Hashem, we have refrigeration, and refrigeration will make sure that the mace will not be masriach, and therefore there really won't be a lack of covered mace if you delay the burial to the first day of Chol HaMoed, or till after yontif, and therefore halach l'maisa, in the circles of follower of Moshe, so they do not bury on yontif sheni shel galus. In any event, right now, Robert's point of view is that this din of Rosh Hashanah that you can bury on the second day of Rosh Hashanah is only a din by the mace, but it's not a din by a beitza. The beitza is still asura, as we just pointed out. Rav himself said that we pass on like Rav, that the beitza is also, it was no lot on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's also on the second day as well. However, the Nardoya disagree with Rava, and they say after beitza, that this heter applies even to Rosh Hashanah with the beitza on the second day, it's mutter. They hold like Rav Yochanan. Because they say, Dama Daitach, what are you thinking? Dilma Ma'avri Leila Elul. What are you thinking? That really maybe Elul, there was a suffix, was it a 30-day month or a 29-day month? So maybe they were Ma'avrit, and really this day that we're calling the first day of Rosh Hashanah is really the last day of Elul, it's the 30th day of Elul, and it's not really the first day of Tishrei. So he said, that never happens. Amar Rav Chinina Bar Kahana, Amar Rav, Rav Chinina Bar Kahana said the name of Rav, Mimos Ezra Ve'elach, from the days of Ezra and onward, it once happened, Rashi points out, during Ezra's time, it did happen. That they once were gozer that Elul should be ma'aber, but since then it hasn't happened. Mios ezav elach lo motzino Elul ma'uber. We don't find Elul ever was ma'uber. Now we had a mice in the Gemara that one time the Edom came late, so it's unclear was that during the days of Ezra or was that a one-time event that occurred afterwards. In any event, we don't find it ever on a regular basis, and therefore, as I said, you don't make a gzeir over here about the beitza because it's not a dover shchiyach, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about it. And not only for the mace do we say kavod mace, but we even say for the beitza. That's the opinion of the Nardoi, that you can eat the beitza on the second day if it was late on the first day. Rava disagrees. Amar Mazutra, Mazutra tells us, Lo Amorin El Dishtai. The only time that Rava said that you're allowed to go bury the Yiddish person on the second day is Rashi explains that if they delayed and the Yisasku Bo Yisrael, that we allow them to go and bury with a Jewish person on the second day, it was a delay. And therefore, there's going to be a spoiling of the mace, a decay of the mace, so therefore, shelo yasriach, Rashi says, therefore they allowed it. Avol lo ishtoi, if there was no delay, the person died, Nebuch, on the second day of Yontif, and it's not going to cause the decay if they wait till the following morning, so machinally, then even Rava says we don't bury on the second day via Yisasku by Yisrael, but we wait till the day afterwards, till Chol HaMoed, or till after Yontif Elvi, Yisruchad, and bury then. That's Marzutra's understanding of Rava's din. Rav Ashi disagrees, though. Rav Ashi man, no. Avogav lo ishtoi. He says, even though there was no delay, nami lo mashinule. We don't have to wait till after Yontif. You're allowed to bury on the second day of Yontif. Yisasku bo Yisrael. My time, why is that? Yontif sheni, legabi meis, kechol shavyur abon. As I mentioned before, this is the Lashon. They made Yontif sheni in regards to a meis because of covenant meis. They made it like a weekday. Because technically it is a weekday. We really know. Kriyas v'yachar, we know exactly when the days are, and we really know that this is not Yontif. So therefore, in regards to the mace, for covered mace, the rabbis never set up that we should have Sveka the Yoma, that we should hold 2 days. So therefore, the rabbis set this up. Hey Mamru, Hey Mamru. And therefore, one would even be allowed on the second day, Afilu Lemei Gazlei, Glima Ulemei Gazlei Osa. You can do things that aren't even an essential for the mace. As Rashi points out in Dira Masko, Dika Chabare, he says that these things are extra. They're only a Tircha Yisera. They're not needed. The Lot Sarichu, Elim Shem Kvaldo. These things are only for the covered mace. They already have shrouds. They already have the Tachrichim for the mace, and they'll make a nicer one. And they put up these Lemegas Le'asa. They would cut up these myrtles as a covered for the mace. They would put them up. They would have a nice odor, and it would be a covered for the mace to have them. So even though they're not essential for the burial of the mace, nevertheless, we're allowed to do them. That is Ravashi Shita. Even when there's no delay, and even to do these extra things, in regards to a mace, there is no din of Yontif Sheni. That is Rav Ashi's opinion. Along comes Ravina, though, and he says, V'yomer Ravina, V'aid no dika chabori. Nowadays, we have these wicked, wicked people called chabori. Rashi explains, this was Umar Rishah. This is a very wicked nation. Shoybim Parsim, they lived around the times of the Jewish people being subjugated by the Persians, the Kofin is Yisrael, Lassus Velachtum, and they would force the Jewish people to work for them. However, they did say, okay, since it's your Yontif, we won't make you work on Yontif, for whatever the reason. They didn't force them to work on Yontif, because they said, it's your Yontif, we'll give you off your Yontif. However, Im Yiru, Osan Mekavrin, Mesen, if they see them doing work, they see them burying the mace, Yichov, Osan Leblacha, they're going to force them to do work. And therefore, Ravina says, if you're dealing with people like the Chabarim, so then we have to be concerned, and we don't bury on Yontif Sheni Shogolis, because it's going to lead to a further Takala, that you say, well, if you can work for this, then you can work for us as well. Tosos asks, does this apply today or not? So in this Tosos Vayidna, the Ika Chabari, he has a number of different sides to go this way, to go that way. And he says, nowadays, at the end of the Tosos, he says, Bod, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, Dibizman Hazeh, Nami Yesh Yehudim, Shem Yishubodim Lamalchus, Lasos Melacha, Kigon Lekabal Amas, Ulasasik Besochem. The guy also wants us to work today on Shabbos and Yontif. And maybe there are rules and laws that say that they don't force us to work on Shabbos and Yontif, but if they see us working, they'll say, then you can't be hypocrites. If you can work for yourselves, then you can work for us too. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, Im Yiru Shi Yisasku Lasos Melocha B'meis, if they see us doing the work for the meis, just like the Chabarim, Yichov Osam Lasos Melocha L'machus, they're going to force us to do work for the king as well. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says that this din applies nowadays. And maybe that's another reason why we don't bury a meis on the second day of Yontif Sheni Shogolius. Should only be la'agil Torah la'adira, it shouldn't be halacha l'maisa. Mark continues and says, Ravina Ave Yosef Kameh. Now the gears that we have is the Rav Asi. The Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Asi, but on the side it brings down that the gears in the riff and the rush is Rav Ashi. And this makes sense as well, because Ravina and Rav Ashi were contemporaries. Rav Asi was the first generation of Amora, and Ravina and Rav Ashi were the last generation of Amoraim. And also we're going to see that Rav Mordechai is a Talmud of Rav Ashi, not a Talmud of Rav Asi. Anyway, the Gersa should be Rav Ashi. So Ravina was once sitting in front of Rav Ashi, Mishnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, and it was the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that they were sitting together. And that year, Rosh Hashanah was a Thursday, Friday. It was a 3-day Yontif. And Chazya, the Havi Otziv, Ravina saw that Rav Ashi was upset. He was very sad. Amalei, so Ravina asked Rav Ashi, am I Otziv? Why is the master so sad? So Amalei, Rav Ashi said to him, because I forgot to make an Erev Tashilin. The Lo Osivi Erev Tashilin, and now I won't have food for Shabbos, because you only can prepare food for Shabbos if you make an Erev Tashilin. If Yontif is on a Thursday, Friday, so you have to make an Erev Tashilin. Mi Yitzhashem, we'll learn about the Erev Tashilin halachos in a couple of days, towards the middle of the next week. Dav Tezvav. In any event, so Rav Ashi was sick because he forgot to make an Erev Tashilin. So Ravina said, hey, it's not too late. It's only Thursday now. Amalei, Velosid Mara Idna, let you make an Erev Tashilin today on Yontif on Thursday. Why? Because today's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. You could say, Mimad Shach, if today is Rosh Hashanah, then tomorrow's not. So then I'm allowed to cook tomorrow. And if today is really Chol and tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, so then now I'm making an Erev Tashilin. Milo Amar Rabbah, afterward, didn't Rabbah say, Meniach Adam Eruv Tashilim Yontov L'Chaveru Masneh, that on a Thursday, Friday, Yontiv, if it's Yontiv, not Rosh Hashanah, he said that you can do this Mimad Shach on a regular Thursday, Friday. Because if today is really Yontiv, then tomorrow is not. And if today is really Chol, and tomorrow is Yontiv, so then I'm making an Erev Tashilim. So if it worked for Rabbah saying it worked for Yontiv, so then it should also work for Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Ashi says, no, I'm sorry. Amalei, Eimadam Rava Bishnei Yom Tov Shel Golius, Bishnei Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Miyamar. When Rava said his din, that was only for the Mimana Shach of Shtei Yom Tov Shel Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, because we know that one of them is not really Yontif. But here, by Rosh Hashanah, it's Kedusha Richta, and that Mimana Shach doesn't apply. Ravina says, but that's not true. For Amri Nardoi, the Nardoi disagreed with Rava, and they said, Ab Beitz Muteris, even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the egg is permissible again because of the Mimana Shach. So the Nardoi say that you could. So Amalei Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, as Rashi brings down that he was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, because we learned in the Gemara in Sota, Gabi Lavoya, in regards to escorting your Rebbe, you have to escort your Rebbe when he leaves your town, your house, so you have to escort him a full parsa, 4 mil, 4 kilometers. So it says, Rav Mordechai Ilabi Rav Ashi. He was escorting his Rebbe, Rav Ashi. So you see that Rav Mordechai was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, and Amalei Rav Mordechai, Rav Mordechai said about his Rebbe, Rav Ashi. So he told Ravina, Beferish Amalimar, my Rebbe, Rav Ashi, specifically told me, the Lo Nardoi. He doesn't hold like the Nardoi. He holds like Rava. And therefore, Rava only said it in regards to Yontif Sheni Shogolius. He never said it in regards to the Kedusha Richta of Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rav Ashi was sad, because he forgot to make an Erev Tashil. Now the Gemara says, Itma, we learn the base Medrash, Efroach Shinola B'Yontif. If you have a chick that was hatched on Yontif, so Rav Amar also. Rav says that that chick is Muktza. It's Muktza because of Nolad. It wasn't prepared beforehand, and now it's Nolad, so therefore it's Muktza. or Shmuel, or others say Bitamer Rav Yochanan, either Shmuel or Rav Yochanan, argue with Rav, Amar Mutter. They said that the chick that hatched on Yontif is Mutter. What's the rationale behind each of the shitos? Rav said it's also because of Mutsu, it's Nolat. Or Shmuel, Bitamer Rav Yochanan, either one that argued with Rav, either Shmuel or Rav Yochanan, Amar Mutter, that it was Mutter, because since this chick was hatched, Holu Mati Ratzel B'Shchita, since if you wanted to, you could shech this chick, so therefore it's not Mutsu. It was able to overcome, so to say, the muktza that was there of Nolad by the fact that it's now muchan by shchita. If you shechted it, it's muchan, so therefore it is muchan already. Now, these are the two opinions, Rav versus Shmuel or Rav Yochanan. Amile Rav Kahana over Rav Asi le Rav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, two of the Talmidim of Rav, asked Rav the following shayla. Why is this any different than an egel, a calf that is born on Yontif? You also permit that you can shech that calf. It's no lot. How come you allow them to shech the calf, but you don't allow them to go and take this efroach and shech that efroach? Why is there a difference? So Rav tells him, there's a big difference. Because the calf was born to a mother cow. And if you wanted to, you could shech that mother cow. So therefore, the calf inside the mother is like Uri Yerech Imo. It's like a piece of the mother. And therefore, it was Muchan as well. Now, when it's born, it's still considered Muchan Agav Imo B'Shchita, since you could have shechted the mother. So therefore, the Egel is never Muktzah. Even though it's Nolad, it was already Mutter. It was Muchan by being part of the mother. As opposed to the chick was laid. The egg was laid. It no longer was permissible. And therefore, now that it's hatched, it's a brand new thing, and it's not Muchan Agav Imo. That's what Rav said back to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. But they said to him, okay, great. From a regular calf that's no lot from a healthy mother, from a tahora mother, fine. But what about Umah ben Zela Ego Shinola min Atrefa? If the mother cow was a trefa, she only had three legs. So now, this cow that's born, this little calf that's born, it is allowed to be shechted. And therefore, Umah ben Zela Ego Shinola min Atrefa. If an ego comes from a trefa, it is allowed to be shechted. How come? Here you can't say it's muchan agav imo. The mother was usher in shechita because it's a trefa. Nevertheless, the egel is good. So this is exactly analogous to the case of the chick. So how come by the egel shenolam in a trefa you say, yes, you can shech the egel, but the chick that's hatched on yontif, you don't allow it to be hatched? Shosik Rav. Rav did not respond to this question of Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. Now, we always have a question. What does it mean, shosik, when it says somebody was silent? Either they dismissed the question, and that's why they're silent. It's not worth my answering you. Or they didn't know the answer. So here, from the flow of the Gemara, you could actually argue it either way. But I think the more typical way to learn this was Rav didn't answer them right away. He didn't have an answer for them. But Amar Rabba or Bitamer Rav Yosef, either Rabba or Rav Yosef said, why was he silent? My time is Shosik Rav. Why was Rav silent? He had a good answer. Leimalu, he should have told Rav Kahana or Rav Asi. He should have said to them, Ho lemuchan agav imo leklovim. Yes, the mother was a trefa, but a trefa isn't muktzah because you could feed the trefa to the dogs. And therefore, it's muchan. It is not muktzah. And therefore, since the mother wasn't muktzah, so therefore the egel shenolam in a trefa is also not muktzah, as opposed to the egg that hatched. The efroach that was inside the egg that hatched on Yontif, the mother has nothing to do with anything. And since it was nolad, it can't be matted by the shechita. So why didn't Rav answer this teretz to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi? So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, why Rav didn't give this answer to either Rav or Rav Yosef, who said this suggested answer? And we turn to Vavo Mebeis. Gemara says, no, you can't assume that if it was Muchan for Klavim, it's automatically Muchan Liodam. Because why? Hashta, we say the rule is Muchan Liodam, lo avi Muchan Liklavim. If something is Muchan Liodam, so then we don't say it's automatically Muchan Liklavim. If you have an expensive steak, and for whatever reason you don't eat it, you don't feed it to your dog. So therefore, it's not considered Muchan Liklavim. Something that's very expensive, it's prepared just for human consumption, so then we don't say, okay, then give it to your dog. So therefore, this is a Mishnah that we learned in Shabbos, did not. And there it's talking about by Shabbos. We had this Mishnah previously already, that we said you're allowed to go cut up a gourd. Rashi had said that it really was difficult for the animal to eat it this way. Atosa says it wasn't even edible this way unless you cut it up. And likewise, it's a nevela in their club, and you can cut up a nevela for the dogs. That was the Tanakhama's opinion, and Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in lo haisa nevela me'er of Shabbos. If it wasn't a nevela before Shabbos, so then it was muktzah at the start of Shabbos. Migu, this is right, b'nei shmashos. If it was muktzah during the b'nei shmashos period of time, it wasn't a nevela yet, so then it's muktzah all Shabbos long, and therefore it's asura. Lefisha eina mina mucham, it's not considered muchan. Now, that was muchan li'odam is not automatically muchan l'klovim. And likewise, muchan l'klovim, it was Muchan L'Klavim. Are you going to suggest, therefore, have you Muchan L'Odom? If it's Muchan L'Odom, it's not Muchan L'Klavim. So certainly, if it's Muchan L'Klavim, it's not going to be Muchan L'Odom. So that's why they didn't like either Rav Yosef or Rabba's teretz. Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. Either Rabba or Rav Yosef would respond to this point of Abaye by saying as follows, Amalei, no, in fact, that is correct, that if it's muchan li'odam, lo hay muchan l'chavim, because the ma'i d'choz li'ay li'inish, lo shod li'chavim, a fancy steak, you have filet mignon, you're not giving it to your dog. So therefore, muchan li'odam is not automatically muchan l'chavim. But the other way around, we do say that. Muchan l'chavim, if something is permissible for your dogs, have you muchan li'odam? Then we do consider muchan li'odam because a person has always his mind, the dait di'inish, a person's mind is always on, akol midi d'choz li'ay, on anything that could be used for anything, so it's not called muktzah. The fact that he's going to use it for his dog, so therefore it's not muktzah. So therefore we do make a distinction between something that's muchan li'odam, lo having muchan l'chavim, whereas we do say, if it's muchan l'chavim, it is muchan li'odam. So therefore that's why Rabba or Rav Yosef says that this would have been a good answer for Rav to go and give to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. So that's why I said before, when it was Shosik Rav, maybe Rav knew that answer and just didn't feel like saying it. He thought it was so obvious, or that Rav didn't think of it. And along comes Rabba and Rav Yosef, and they give a teretz for him. In any event, we have a brisa, Tani Kavasi the Rav, and Tani Kavasi the Shmuel, Vitem Rav Yochanan. We have a brisa that goes in accord with Rav's opinion that the Efroach that is hatched on Yontif is Osir, and we have a Bryce that goes in accord with the opinion of either Shmuel or Rav Yochanan, who says that the Ephroach that was hatched on Yontif is permissible. First, Tani Kavasi the Rav. We have the Bryce in support of Rav. The Bryce says, Egel should only be Yontif Mutter. An Egel that is born on Yontif is permissible, Agavime, as we said. However, the Bryce says, Ephroach should only be Yontif is Osir. Why should there be a difference between two? Why is the ego permissible and the Ephroach is not? Aren't they both no lot and now it's ois no lot? No, we say, Zemuchan agav imo b'shrita, as Rav had expressed, the cow had been mutter itself. So the calf is mutter also. It's considered ubi yerech imo. As opposed to Vizet, the Ephroach that's hatched on Yontif, ain't a muchan agav imo. The mother has nothing to do with it anymore. It was an egg. And therefore, since the egg is also, that should all be onto his osir, so therefore the hatched chick that comes out is also osir. Oh, Tanya Kavasi the Rav. Now we have Tanya Kavasi the Shmuel, the Tamer of Yochanan. We have a Bryce in support of either Shmuel or of Yochanan. What is that? Ego should not be onto mutter. It says Beferish that the ego is not be onto mutter. Everybody agrees to that. But here this Bryce says, Vefroach should not be onto mutter. It also says that Efroach that is not be onto is mutter. Why, my timer? Because each one, Zemuchen Gabe Imo, Zematiratzmo Bishlita, each of them has a reason why the nolat is taken away. The nolat is not present by the ego because the mother is permissible. And the nolat is not present even by the egg that is hatched, the chick that comes out, because you can shecht it. Therefore, the Shlita removes the nolat Isser. Now we have a third opinion. Tanu Rabbanan, Ephroach Shinola Biyomtov Osir. Here it says in Ephroach Shinola Biyomtov is Osir, like Rab, but it goes further. This is the Tanakhama, it's like Rab. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov gives us a third opinion. He says, Omer, Af Bechol Osir. He says, you're not allowed to eat such a hatched egg, even on a weekday, until its eyes open up. At this point in time, when it just hatches, its eyes are still closed. Lofishalonis Patru Einav. Its eyes aren't open yet. And therefore, it is considered something that is not roi yet liachila, and therefore, it can't be shechted even on a weekday. It has nothing to do with yontif until its eyes open up. Now, we have a brisa that is going to support this statement of Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Kiman hozo ha detanya. Does brisa go like? We'll see. It goes like Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, who says the pasuk says the chol asheretz shreitz al aretz that you're not allowed to eat things that crawl on the ground. They are considered a toeva. So this comes to include what? That the eating of a chick that just was hatched, that hasn't opened up its eyes, is also called a toeva. And who is this like? Come on, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now we have another din. Amar Ravuna Amar Rav. Ravuna Amar Rav says, Beitza im yitziyoso nigmara. An egg, as it's laid, that's when it becomes fully complete as an egg. Until then, it's not considered fully complete. As Rashi says, kishiyotza, when it comes out of the chicken, now nigmara briyosa, only now is it considered a fully formed egg. Abo mikami hachi, while it's still inside the mother, even though it's about to be laid, lo chashiva beitza gemura. It's not considered a beitza that is complete. It's a little bit incomplete until it's actually laid, and the Gemara will say in a moment, what's the nafkamina for this? But this is what Rav Huna Amar Rav says, only when it's fully laid is it now a full egg. Until then, it's not considered a full egg. Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? My imitziosu nigmura. What is Rav Huna Amar Rav coming to teach us over here? So the Gemara says, Ilemah, if you're going to tell me, im yitziyasa nigmara umuteres liochla b'chalav, if you're going to tell me that once an egg is laid, it's no longer considered fleishos, right? It's not a chicken anymore. Now it's an egg, and an egg is parva. And therefore, if you want, you can have it with a cheese omelet. You can go and make an egg with milk. It's that the chiddush that Rav Huna Amar Rav is telling us, that the egg, once it's laid, is now fully milchik. The implication would be, ha b'mei ima, that while the egg is fully formed, albeit still inside the mother, asur liochla b'chalav, it's considered fleishich, and it's not allowed to be eaten with milk. That's not true. But Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Hashoket es a tarnegoles, umotzo beitzim gumuros. If you shack the chicken and you find inside of it fully formed eggs, they're going to be laid. They would have been laid in an hour, in 2 hours. So they're fully formed eggs. Those fully formed eggs are not considered like a chaticha of the chicken. They're considered as eggs. Umutaris lachem mechalav. They're allowed to be eaten with milk. So that can't be the nafkamina of Rav Huna Rav, that only if it's fully laid is it able to be eaten with milk. No. The Braisa Beferish says that even if it's fully formed inside the mother, hasn't come out yet, but it's fully formed, it can be eaten with milk. So that can't be the nafkamina. So what is the nafkamina? So therefore, the Gemara suggests, Elo, imitziyasa digmara umuteris locha b'yontif. The point is, can you go and eat it on yontif? So if it was laid the day before yontif, it's allowed to be eaten on yontif because it was prepared before yontif. Ha, b'mei ima asur liyochla b'yontif. Then, if it was shechted on yontif, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the egg inside of it on yontif because it was being mechin on yontif to be laid later on. So this hachan on yontif is not allowed. So maybe that's what Rav Huna Amar Rav is teaching us over here, that only an egg that's laid is allowed to be eaten because it was prepared the day before. But if you shacked it and you find it inside, you can't because it's being prepared on yontif. Shmuel says, that's ridiculous. Well, Tanya, we learned, Hashokhe is a Tanagolus, who wants a basim gemuros, no tanasalachim yontif. That's not true. If you shacked the chicken and you find the eggs inside of it, you're allowed to eat them. So that can't be it either. So what did Rav Huna Amar Rav say? I think what it says, Chitema komashu lo mevraisa, my de lo ashmina mevmisnisen. Maybe this braisa is not halach lemaisa. Rebbe didn't say it, and therefore Rav Chia didn't author this braisa. Rav Chia only said things he heard from his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, the great Rebbe. And therefore this braisa is a foreign braisa. That's why Rebbe didn't include it in the Mishnayis, because it wasn't real. So maybe it's not authentic. So Gemara says, that's not true. Hanami Tanina, because we have in a Mishnah beferish this. Beitz shenol b'yontiv, it says, Beitz shenol b'yontiv, Beishami omrim teyachah. Beishami said you're allowed to eat it. Beisil omrim lo siyachah. Beisil says you're not allowed to eat it. Now, this machlokas is only on the egg that's laid. V'yad kan lo pligi beishami beisil el ben olda. Avo b'mei imon diri akol sharyad. This is perfectly good. So therefore, that can't be it. So that's not the chiddush of Rav Huna Amar Rav. So we're still left with the question, what does it mean, im yitziyasa nigmara, that the chiddush of Rav Huna Amar Rav is not clear? What does it mean that they're telling us, im yitziyasa nigmara? It's only when it's laid is it completed. Gemara still says, maybe you can tell me, Beis Hillel afilu bei imo nam yasri. No, maybe you're going to say that Beis Hillel and Mishamai are arguing both when it's laid and even if it's inside the mother. So why did he give us the case of Beis Shenolda? We said many times, the Kochet the Teru Adif, and Beis Shammai says it's Mutter, so we want to accent their point of view. But you know what, Taka? Beis Hillel would say, not only if it's late, it's no good, but even if it's inside the mother, it's no good. But the Beis Hillel, they would say that even if it was inside the mother, it's no good. That can't be. Because Elohod Tanya, how would you explain the following brisa? Hashochet es a tarnegolus umotzo beisim gemuros mutaris lochem yontif. That brisa that we had previously says that you are allowed to eat them inside. Now, money, who would that be? It can't be Beis Shammai, because they say that even if it's laid, it's allowed to be eaten, so certainly if it's inside. And you're telling me now that Beis Hillel argues, so then it's not Beis Hillel. So then whose opinion is it? Lo Beis Shammai, lo Beis Hillel. So obviously, it's the opinion of Beis Hillel, and therefore Beis Hillel does hold that you can eat the egg inside the mother that was shechted, the chicken that was shechted, the eggs inside of it are mutter. So again, what is the chiddush of Rav Huna Amar Rav? So Mara says, here's the chiddush. Elo imitziyasa nigmara umagadelis efrochim b'mei ima ena magelis efrochim. He's telling us that an egg that is laid, that has the potential to become a chick. But an egg that wasn't laid, it will never grow up to become a chicken. It can't produce a chicken. L'may nafkamina, why do we care about this? Okay, this is a scientific fact. So Gemara says, l'makach humemka. If a person buys an egg, and he's expecting to have a chick come from it, so if he's given an egg that was taken out from a hen, and it wasn't laid, so then it will never produce a chick. So he can argue, hey, you sold me a bogus egg, and I want my money back. L'mekachu memkar. Ki hao di amal hu. As the case Maisa Shaya, there once was a person who told the people that were selling eggs, I would like to buy, and we turn to Zayin Omid Aleph, I would like to buy Be'e de Pachya. I want to buy a egg that comes from a live chicken. As Rashi explains, the pachi means kamo, the paya hanolod ben antarnagolis, chaya shepua b'leidosa. Right? We have Yocheved and Miriam, we know as Shifra and Pua. So I want to come from a chicken that's making sounds. In other words, I want an egg that's born from a live chicken. So this person was asking, Beye de pachi l'man, who is selling here eggs that come from a live chicken? And somebody sold him one. So Yovle Beye de shchuta, but somebody sold him an egg that wasn't from a live chicken, it came from inside a chicken that had been shechted, which is perfectly kosher, but it's never going to raise chickens. It's never going to be able to have an ifroch come out of it. Now, this person bought this bogus egg. So also came to Ravami. He went to Ravami and said, what should I do? So Amalu, Ravami told him, Mekach tos uvahodar. This is a mekach tos. This is a mistaken purchase. This person specifically asked for an egg that comes from a live chicken. You sold him an egg that came from a shafted chicken, and therefore he's entitled to his money back. So I says, Pshita, I need a price to tell me this. I need a Ravuna Amarav to tell me this. It's obvious. So I says, I'm not so obvious. Mal the tema, I might have said, Haile achila kaboy lehu. This person thought he wanted it to eat, and therefore, behind the comment of pachya, why did he say he wanted a egg that came from a chicken that was making all sorts of sounds, that was cooing? So why did he want that? Because mishum ditzurivon, he wanted it to be a fully made egg. He thought that that's a more tastier egg that's laid. He thought it's tastier if it's laid than if it comes from inside of a chicken. And therefore, l'may nafkamina, I might have said that it's not a mekach tos. Okay, so he thought he was buying grade A eggs, and you gave him grade B eggs, and that's not a mekach tos. So grade A eggs, you bought it, you sold it to him for $1 for a dozen, and it really should have been 90 cents for a dozen. So you owe the guy 10 cents because he bought a dozen of these at the higher price. So all he's entitled to back is the amount that you cheated him. So l'may svalei beni beni, all he would be entitled back would be the difference between the tastier egg and the less tasty egg. So the chiddush of Rafuna my rabbis, komash v'la, no, this is a mekach tos. He wanted an egg that could lay chickens, and the egg that's coming from a shluta will never lay chickens. So this is a mekach tos. You can't say it's a tastier egg versus a less tastier egg. He has to give him back the full price. That's the chiddush of Rafuna Amar Rab. With this, we conclude today's shiur.